Hello, and welcome to the Clinical Care Options Infectious Disease Podcast. I'm your host, Jacqueline Meredith. This episode features information about increasing meningococcal vaccine uptake. During this podcast, Dr. Tamara Cohn-Beasley discusses meningococcal vaccine equity in adolescent patients and strategies to overcome barriers. For more information about Dr. Cohn-Beasley and for a link to the full online educational program, please visit the link in the show notes. Now let's get started and hear what she has to say about this topic.
Hello, my name is Dr. Tamara Cohn-Beasley, and I'm a professor of pediatrics and internal medicine at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, where I also serve as the vice chair of pediatrics for community engagement and the Daryl Dawkins, MD, endowed chair of adolescent medicine. I am also a past president of the Society for Adolescent Health and Medicine and served on the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, the body that makes recommendations for the United States. I want to spend a few moments describing to you a patient who represents so many other patients that I see. His name is Rodriguez, and he just turned 16 years old. He is excited because this age will grant him the opportunity for some independence in his multi-generational Spanish-speaking home. He lives in a rural county where there isn't a pediatrician. The last few years have been difficult for him navigating through COVID. Two close relatives died, and his father lost his job and his health care benefits that were associated with it. He has felt isolated from his peers when school was closed, and even though school has reopened, things just aren't the same. He didn't perform well in school because virtual school was difficult for him because of his access to the internet, which was spotty, and the desired need to be in close proximity to his teacher to optimize his learning. He also hadn't seen a pediatrician in over 3 years and was behind on his immunizations, which he might have received through school, but school was closed and there were new challenges to school vaccine mandates and even the administration of vaccines at school. Many people in his Spanish-speaking community were now skeptical of vaccines, and his parents didn't have the time, trust, transportation, or money to get him to the next county for vaccines. This case provides an opportunity for us to think about some important questions, particularly how to identify and address barriers to the promotion of vaccination with meningococcal conjugate vaccine and MenB, and in fact, how do we promote other vaccines as well? Many of Rodriguez's barriers were related to the social determinants of health. Social determinants of health are conditions in which people are born, live, work, and age. They are shaped by the distribution of money, power, and resources. Social determinants of health account for an estimated 60% or more of health outcomes and are largely responsible for health inequities. Social determinants of health are generally put into categories including economic stability, neighborhood and physical environment, education, food, community and social context, and healthcare system. When adolescents and their families have poor or negative experience, such as unemployment, inadequate housing, inadequate transportation or safety, low educational attainment, poor access to food, especially healthy food, discrimination, stress, or low access to quality care, their healthcare outcomes are largely negatively impacted and can result in increased morbidity and mortality and decreased life expectancy and health status. This can include increased morbidity and mortality from meningococcal disease. So let's identify the negative social determinants of health that impact Rodriguez's health and his access to care. First, he lives in a rural community without a pediatrician. In fact, it's not just his community, it's his whole county. The closest pediatrician is over an hour away. His father recently lost his job and his health insurance for the entire family. Transportation is troublesome. The only car they have is in disrepair and is shared among the 6 adults who reside in the household, and there's no public transportation in the county. Additionally, gas prices are extremely high and prohibitive. English language and literacy are also issues, especially for the adults in the home. Discrimination, racism, mistrust, and stress have become more visible and prominent in his community than he can ever remember in his lifetime, especially since 2020. How can we, as providers, address these barriers to promote vaccination of meningococcal conjugate vaccine, as well as MenB, and any other vaccines Rodriguez may need? How might we promote vaccine equity, which is fair and just access to vaccinations for Rodriguez, his family, and his community? I'm going to give you several strategies that could actually be used. One is to work with the Latino community, and this could be any community that actually has inequitable access. But for the purposes of this discussion in this case, we'll focus on the Latino community. And when you're working with the Latino community, you also want to engage adolescents and young adults to help promote vaccine efforts. This should also include their parents. One of the best predictors of adolescent acceptance of vaccines is parental acceptance. It's also important to acknowledge that racism exists in medicine and in medical history. It's the first step to helping to restore trust. It's also important to address individuals' concerns, to listen, to hear them, and to work to develop anti-racist strategies and policies. We should include all youth, including youth who are attending schools, those who are at sports and other social activities, and those who are living in close quarters. They should be a part of any vaccine campaign or even the development of strategies to increase vaccination among these groups. We should also involve trusted community-based organizations, as well as adolescent and young adult influencers. They should be involved in the implementation of vaccine allocation and the location of vaccine sites. We should even make sure that we have some sites for vaccination available in Rodriguez's community, especially because he has limited access to healthcare providers. And when he does have access to vaccine providers or even to a physician's office, we need to make sure that we vaccinate at every available opportunity. Even if he and his family are not coming for vaccines, vaccines should be offered every time he visits a healthcare provider or a healthcare facility. We also want to design vaccination outreach and messaging programs with community members that consider the psychosocial development and characteristics of adolescents and young adults. And it also addresses misinformation and uses trusted members and messengers of the community. What would also be helpful to Rodriguez and his family is to use graphs, voices, and videos that appeal to all languages and learning style. And in his particular case, to actually make sure that we have these videos and images that also pay attention to the Spanish language and the Spanish culture. It's also important to consider the use of technologies and to inform individuals who might be migrant workers, undocumented immigrants, or underinsured, or even uninsured, that the vaccine is free through the Vaccines for Children's program for all individuals through the ages of 18, and that in most states, they do not require proof of residency or other documents, and it is not, receipt of the vaccine is not connected with immigrations and customs enforcement. Other thing that is really important and really important for the long-term health of Rodriguez and his family and his community are to seek ways to address provider shortage. This can be done in collaboration with health departments, schools, through school-based health centers and their development, and even through working with our local governments. And finally, although there are many other strategies, but for the purpose of our discussion today, it's important to address the social determinants of health that have preventing him from getting access to vaccinations. Because as we know, meningococcal disease is important, and getting to a healthcare provider is also important, not only for the purpose of getting vaccinated, but also it allows one an opportunity to be screened for important conditions that one may develop, such as diabetes or depression and anxiety, which actually can be treated. It also allows you to develop and assess for the strengths within families and communities, such as social connectedness. These things are all important, addressing social determinants of health and getting young people access to healthcare facilities and getting vaccinated so that we can improve their overall health and their well-being, in addition to providing protection from vaccine-preventable diseases.
Thank you very much to Dr. Cohn-Beasley, and thank you to our listeners for joining in. As a reminder, to view the full Sweet 16 Time to Complete Meningococcal Vaccines program on the Clinical Care Options website, click on the link in the show notes. And please be sure to check back for more episodes on important infectious disease topics. Thank you.